book of 2 Peter and chapter 2. I'd like to begin reading in verse 4. It says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved on the judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignity. We come this week looking for revival. Many of you said that you want revival. I would ask again this night, how many people want revival? Everybody wants revival. Let me give you a little hint about revival. First of all, revival is a lot of work. A lot of people have a pipe dream about revival and somehow it just comes. Revival does not come. Revival requires a lot of plowing, a lot of planting, a lot of weed pulling, a lot of watering, a lot of praying, a lot of sacrifice. Revival is a day by day denying of yourself and searching for God. Revival requires sweat in the spiritual sense. I know we have this dream that somehow we'll not have to fight against sin, but revival is a continual fight against sin. Somehow we think the revival is always, as that Spanish is still getting hold of me. Somehow we think the revival is just going to come without labor, without effort, without prayer, without the denial of ourselves. It's not true. Revival requires sacrifice. If you're willing to pay that price, you'll find revival in your own heart, in your own mind. I'd like to continue this evening with a theme that we began last night. It says here, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned." And again, many times we conceive God in our own minds, in our own hearts. We think that God will always forgive. Or as the lady sang here tonight, that there is always tomorrow. That's just not true. God does not always forgive. And God will not always pass over sin. The Bible says when the angels sinned, that God spared them not. When the angels of heaven, these creatures, gloriously created, when they sinned, God had no mercy upon them. Look if you will in Matthew in chapter 24. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." I want you to see here tonight that when these angels sinned, rebelled against God, that God prepared a terrible place. It came into the mind of God when sin came upon these angels and they rebelled against him, God prepared hell for them. I would like to tell you tonight that God despises sin and wickedness. And God will not tolerate sin. Sin must be dealt with. And if that sin is found in angelic beings in the glories of heaven, God will deal with it. And God, the Bible says that when God saw that these angels sinned, he prepared an everlasting fire for the devil and his angels. Look if you will in Isaiah in chapter 14, beginning in verse 9. "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, Art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God.
I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Here we see the sin of the devil. Pride. God despises, God hates pride. And when he sees it in the devil, he prepares a place for him. And I will ascend above the, he says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And they that see thee shall merely look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and to shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of prisoner? Hell was prepared for the devil and the angels because they sinned against an almighty God. Some of you don't believe in hell. Some of you have been led astray, perhaps by Jehovah's Witnesses, perhaps by Mormons, perhaps by Adventists. Somehow you got into your mind that there is no hell. But my friend, whether you go to hell believing or not believing, there is a hell. And it's a terrible place. I wish my vocabulary was 10 times better just to describe to you the agonies of hell. When Jesus spoke of hell, he said it's better for you to take out your eyes, to pluck it out, because it's better for you to walk about this life blind than to be cast into hellfire where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. I cannot think of anything worse in this life to be blind. Janice and I and Bill and Debbie, I think Debbie and Joel, were all sitting down in a taco stand in Irapuato. And there came in a man that was missing a leg. He began coming in and he sat down also and we began to sympathize with him. We began to discuss. We thought how terrible it must be to walk around and to live a life without a leg. Yes, that is a terrible thing. We began discussing, well, what member of the body would be we willing to give up? What member of your body would you be willing to give up? What member of your body is most precious? You know what we concluded? We're all precious. I don't want to lose any of them. There's not a member in my body I want to lose. I don't want to lose my eyesight. But Jesus said it's better for you to lose your eyesight than going to hell. Jesus said it's better for you to get a saw and cut off your hand and walk around in this life without a hand than to go into hellfire where the fire is not quenched and the worm dies not. Jesus said it's better for you to cut off your foot and to walk about this life lame than to go into hell. The fire is not quenched and the worm dies not. Now I know all these liars, these false witnesses, cut that verse out of the Bible, but it's in my Bible and it's in your Bible and you know it's true. You want to deny it. You want to say it's not true, but you know it's true. Just as a woman is being violated, she wants to scream out, this is not happening to me. It's the same thing with you. It can't be true, but it is true. Just as the mother that loses her child in an automobile accident cries, this cannot be so, but yes, it is so. Just as the woman comes home to find that her husband has been killed out on the job, says, no, this can't be happening, but it does happen. And your denial will not erase the fires of hell. Look in Revelation in chapter 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The horrible thing about hell is that it's forever. Hell is not a moment of agony. Hell is not a second of pain. Hell is an eternity. My Bible says the worms covered. I can remember as a young man, as a boy, going down, we'd gone on vacation, and we had a basement up in Michigan, in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and we came home, or I came home, and I went downstairs to turn on the light. I turned on the light and poof, it went out. It was very dark in the basement. And I went over there and I tried, reached up to grab the light, and gooey things were all over my hand. And of course I immediately reacted. I somehow got over and got another light on, and you know what this light was filled with? A light bulb. You know, just regular old 100 watt light bulb. Maggots. It was just covered with maggots. It was gross, I'm telling you. It was gross. Hey! I don't know exactly what he's talking about, but he says, I can imagine, my mind can imagine, the worms covered me. Hell is a terrible place. And I know that you have fabricated a God in your mind and your heart, and somehow you have made your image of a God, you being an idolater just as much as those Catholics that worship little Dolly. You have formed a God out of your own mind and out of your own wicked heart that says, this God would not allow a hell. My friend, you're wrong. And your idolatry will lead you to that very place that you deny. God, spare not the angels that sin. It is eternity. The blackness of night will cover them. Isn't it at nighttime that you're scared the most?
I had an opportunity to go down to the Mammoth Cave years and years ago. We took an elevator down. I don't know how many stories. And then we walked down farther, 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 farther. Had lights on it. Very beautiful. And then we got down there and they turned off the light. Hey, I thought I'd been in some dark places before, but I had never been in that kind of darkness. I kid you not, putting your hand on your nose, you could not see your pitch. You talk about a scary feeling. You could hear the nervous murmuring of the people in there. You know what? They had hope that the light was going to come on. Those in hell have no hope. There'll be no tomorrow for them. There'll be no light springing upon them tomorrow or another day. My Bible says that they're tormented day and night forever and ever. Have you been sick? Have you been ill? Some of these brothers have said, yes, I've been ill for the last 3 days. But you know what sustained you? You're going to get over it. I'll take a pill. I'll go to the doctor. I'll get over it somehow. Just a few more days, I'll get over it. You don't ever get over it in hell. My Bible says that God prepared that hell for the devil and his angels when they sinned against him. He spared not the angels that sinned. Hell is a place of torment. It's a place of fire and brimstone. I was in Michigan 3 years ago, my mother's funeral. And during that time, a young boy was cleaning his motorcycle. I guess it was like a mini bike, a little mini bike with a motor on it. And he was cleaning it down in the basement. Up north, you have basements. You have furnaces in the basement. He was down there cleaning that mini bike with gasoline. And those fumes filled the basement. And somehow the fumes got to the furnace and it exploded. I don't remember the exact percentage of his body, but it burned him horribly. And I guess it wasn't at my mother's funeral, it was just a little bit before that because we were in the hospital. And they brought us down to the therapy room. They brought our mother down because she had lost the use of her leg. The cancer had eaten through her spine. And so they were teaching us how to lift her up, how to put her in a wheelchair, how to move her around. We went down to this therapy room. There were other people there. They had little walkers. The therapists were dealing with them. And I'll never forget this, the day I die. This little boy, about 12 years old, they had him a table. They stood up there. They brought this boy. They laid him down on this table. And they got these big old seat belts. And they just wrenched it on him. Just as tight as they could. They got his arms down. They got his legs down. They had him just tied up so he couldn't get off. And they began to lift that table up. He'd burned his body and he was recovering. They're trying to stretch out his limbs. I'm not sure exactly what the purpose was, but it was a terrible thing. That boy, his body was completely burned. And as they began to lift him up, he began to scream in horror and pain. And his father was standing there and he says, Daddy, don't you care for me? Daddy, you love me. You give me off of this table. Daddy, it hurts. The pain is killing me. And he screamed and he screamed and he screamed. You know what? That boy's probably recovered now. But those in hell will never recover. My Bible says in 2 Peter in chapter 2, and he spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them the chains of darkness reserved on the judgment. And I can hear some of you already calculating in your mind, in your heart, you're saying, oh, well, yes, of course, that's the devil. The devil deserves hell. Yes, that's the angels. They deserve hell. Yes, yes, they deserve it. Those are angels. Those are devils. But God loves us. God will have mercy upon us. Go on. Fabricate your God. Go on. Imagine the God. Conceive your God. But my God has revealed himself through his holy word. It says in verse 5, and he spared not the angels that sinned. He cast them down into hell and spared not the old world but saved Noah. The eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world and the ungodly. My Bible says not only did God not spare the angels and the devil, but he did not spare that old world. How soon we forget. You remember Noah? Look at the women in Genesis in chapter 6. How soon we forget. And verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and of the thoughts, the intents of his heart, was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man upon the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing and fowls of the earth, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Not only does God's anger rise up against the sin of devils and angels, God's anger rises up in the sin of man and beast. God said here that it repented him that he had made man upon the earth. And he said, I will destroy man upon the earth. Look at the will in Matthew in chapter 24. God have mercy. And verse 36.
But of that day and hour knoweth no man, nor not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
I want you to notice some things here.
When that flood came, some knew not. They had no idea that the flood was coming. They were not prepared for it. They thought they had another day to look for God. They thought they had another day to search out the righteousness of God. They thought perhaps tomorrow, some other day, but they did not have another day. That was the end. That was the last day. God's patience was terminated. He said, it is enough.
And the flood came. And some of you have deceived yourselves into thinking that God will spare. But he did not spare in the days of Noah.
Some of you have deceived yourselves into thinking, oh, God will have mercy upon this precious baby.
No, God did not have mercy upon those precious babies.
God looked upon them children and he saw the imagination of their hearts and it was wicked continually. God looked upon them children just as you looked upon the serpent, and you know that although they're little, that they're going to grow up and become rattlesnakes and serpents, and they will reach out and bite you. And you know that they have to be destroyed. And God looked upon this world and the wickedness of the world and he said, it is enough.
And he destroyed man upon the face of the earth. We had a terrible flood last summer, didn't we? The mighty Mississippi rose up and flooded. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles. Thousands of people lost their homes. I don't know how many people died. I've read some stories about the floods. The most notable, the one that has etched its memory across my mind, was a dam break in Georgia. I believe it was in around 1977. I don't recall the year exactly. But I can imagine that these same horror stories happen every time a river would rise up and flood. This dam, there was a little mobile home complex built below the dam. A small city built below the dam, and this dam just gave up. It broke. It just didn't crack. It broke. It just didn't spring a leak. It broke. It tumbled down, and the waters came flooding in the middle of the night.
Nobody was prepared. Nobody thought it was going to happen. No doubt many were eating and drinking. No doubt that some were even marrying. No doubt there was parties going on. No doubt people thought tomorrow.
We need to go by and check that dam. That's the flood water came. And what I remember reading was first, the waters came about 6 foot high and began flooding. And there was a young daddy, as the waters came up into his trailer home, he realized that there was some type of flood. It had been raining. And he realized they had to get out. He couldn't get the doors open, so he opened a window. And he set his 5-year-old boy on the windowsill. And as he did that, the next big wave came in about 20 feet high and carried him away.
They said that the searchers were out looking for people trying to get out. The alarm bells went off. And one man, that he had lost his family, he was out there helping, crying out, my God, my God, the rain is coming down, mud is everywhere. And they're pulling these bodies out of the river.
And one, he pulled to the shore. Her face was gone. The water came down in such velocity that it just scraped, I imagine it just scraped on the bottom of the ground, just scraping all of her face, all of her figures. And this man just weeped and cried, this poor woman.
They put her into an ambulance and they took her to the hospital.
It wasn't until later that very man realized that woman he pulled out of the river was his wife.
Yes, these are terrible stories. I remember reading a story of a flood here in Texas years and years ago. The flood waters came up, they were rising up, 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 up. The man was stuck in his attic and the waters were still coming up. And with his bare hands, he beat a hole through the plywood in the roof.
His hands were marred and bloody.
He got up under the roof, and the water stayed. And many people in that same flood, they grabbed hold of the very tops of trees,
and they escaped. But I want you to know something. They escaped that flood.
Many escaped the flood of the Mississippi. Many escaped the flood in Georgia. Many will escape the floods that go about all the world. I want you to know, brethren, I want to remind you tonight, sinner friend, that they did not escape in the days of Noah. They all perished.
God saved only 8. Let that sit in.
God did not save millions. God did not save a multitude.
He saved 8. Did not save 10. Did not save 20. He saved 8. He spared not in the days of Noah.
Some of you sitting here tonight, You've got in your mind that God's going to somehow be merciful to you. Do not deceive yourself. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For what your man saw, that shall you also reap. Some of you Christians here tonight have it in the back of your minds that if we never go to Poland, that those people will never hear, that God will somehow pass over. No, my friends, they do not hear. God will not pass over, and they will die in their sins, and God will not spare them. They will receive the recompense of reward. They will receive their just deserts, and they will die and go to hell without knowing.
We have a detour. We have a saying here, ignorance is bliss. No, my friends, ignorance is dangerous. Ignorance will kill you.
I didn't know he had AIDS. I didn't know he had syphilis. I didn't know that he was a murderer.
Ignorance will kill you. And there's no more dangerous ignorance than the ignorance of the will of God. My Bible says they knew not until a flood came. They knew not because they were blinded by their parting. They were blinded by their eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage.
They were blinded by being occupied with the things of this world. They were blinded by the very same things that blind you and I.
I believe it was 2 or 3 years ago, they had a flood out here around the Pot of Gold Ranch. I believe it was the Pot of Gold Ranch.
By wanting to live, wanting to have another day, not wanting to lose their parents, not wanting to die, crying out for life, no doubt crying out to God. Help me, somebody help me. My God, won't somebody help me?
And flying overhead was a helicopter, and they dropped down a cable.
Yes, rescue is coming, yes. Grab hold of the cable, young lady. Grab hold of the cable.
And she grabbed hold of it, thinking, oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. And the helicopter pulled her up.
Oh, yes.
All of this on TV. She could no longer hold on. And she held to her death. Tragic. God spared not. Look at the will in the book of Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1. Verse 7.
And to you who are troubled, rest us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the Lord and from the glory of his power. Why be glorified in the saints and to be admired of all them that believe? Because our testimony among you is believed in that day. I want to tell you something. I want you to write this verse down in the heart, in your heart, on the walls, in your home, right on your, right on your door. My Bible says that God is going to come and avenge him upon those that know him not. If they know not God, in their sins they will suffer the vengeance. They will suffer the wrath. God will not spare for their crime. Some of you have had people pleading, weeping over you, crying that you might come to know the Savior, but you obeyed not. God demands that you find him out. God demands obedience. And if you search not for God, you obey not his gospel. He'll spare. In our text, it says not only did he not spare the angels that sinned, and he spared not the old world. It says, and in verse 8, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an example of those that after should live ungodly. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you remember these wicked things? Apparently our generation has forgotten that God despises the sin of sodomy. Somebody once said, well, you know, AIDS is God's judgment on homosexuals. No, no, my friend. That is a natural consequence of sin, yes. That is a result of sin, yes. But God's judgment upon homosexuality is fire and brimstone. God's judgment upon lewdness and fornication, adultery, are the fires of an everlasting hell. And my Bible says that God rained down fire from hell, an eternal fire, on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and destroyed them. Look, if you will, in Genesis 18. I'm sorry, verse 19. And verse 12. We're halfway to the story. They come into the cities of Sodom, and to look about. And Lot is invited to their home, and he's looking. Have come and said, we want to know these men. Bring them out. And Lot refused. And to show the depravity of even just how wicked he did become. He said, take these men, I will give you my virgin daughter. We're talking about a saved man. It was the trail of no sacrifice. No. Whatever his eyes saw, he lusted after and he went after it with all his heart. And now here we begin to see the consequences of that. He didn't think about that when there was division between him and Abraham. And their herdsmen. He didn't think about that when he was rushing off to his retirement, whatever. He didn't think about that when he cast the black eyes upon the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't think about the consequences of what I was going to do to his children. And what I was going to do to his wife. And what I was going to do to his own soul. He forgot all about that.
And his rush after the riches of this world. The love of money is the root of all evil. And looky here. And now when it comes time to bring out of this place, when it comes time for judgment and these angels give them the exhortation, now go to your family and tell them of the coming wrath. My Bible says that he went and he told them, look, get thee out of this place, Lord. We'll destroy this city.
He had a true message. He had the truth. But there was no power in his message because he lived an ungodly life. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Perhaps this evening the reason your family does not have to obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and does not want to repent and come to find God as our Savior is because that you have lived an ungodly life and the words are vanity in their ears. You do not live as though this world is going to be destroyed. You do not live as though this world is coming to judgment. You have lived as if this world is going to be here forever. And by your actions you have deceived your family. And now when you open your mouth and you talk about the coming destruction by well-watered plains, you have the ease and comfort that will deceive your heart. Riches are deceitful, my friend. You have so many things.
Personally speaking, I think every American ought to have to go to a third world country. That'll just make it a mandatory thing. But you go to another country and live for a year so that you won't be deceived. In verse 15, it says, when the morning arose, then the angels hastened, like saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here. Lest thou be consumed in iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, they laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, compelled and set him without the city. Why did he linger? He had family back there. My Bible says that Lot's wife looked back, and Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Now why do you think Lot's wife looked back? I've heard many a sermon say she looked back. And verse 22,
we have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain. Thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayer shall not pass through.
He's talking about God.
Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast not pitied. You have wrapped yourself with a cloud and now our prayers will not pass through.
My Bible says in the book of Peter, that you and I as men, we should honor our wives as vessels, as weak vessels. Because we do not honor our wives, God says he will not hear our prayer. Sisters, you got to help me out on this. I told you, if you help me, I'll help you. Now I want to say this one more time. The Bible says, men, that you are to honor your wives as a weaker vessel. All right. Looks like the men are going to get it tomorrow night. What does it say here? It says here that God pitied not. Look at the will in Jeremiah in chapter 5. I know that you enjoy talking in John 3:16, but you ought to read some of the other parts of the Bible. I know that Romans is a real sugar stick to it and you really like it, but you ought to try reading some other parts of the Bible to get a real revelation. Precious promises. Jeremiah in chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, how shall I pardon thee for this? How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and have sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning, every one made after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged for such a nation as this?
Is this not our nation? The very churches are filled with adulterers. It wouldn't surprise me the least if there was an adulterer here this tonight that professed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would not be a shock to me. It would be a great disappointment, yes, but it would not shock me in the least bit to find out that this very night,
some of you, in your heart, have been running around after the heart, chasing after women, or chasing after men.
It would not surprise me in the least to find out tonight that some of them bear the name to take the name of Jesus are drug addicts.
It would not surprise me in the least to find out in this generation that we live in, to find out tonight that some of you have committed abominable sins and wickedness.
And you have deceived your wife, and you have deceived the preachers, and you have deceived this congregation, but you have not deceived God, and be sure your sin will find you out. And God said, how shall I forgive? How shall I pardon thee for this? There will be no revival as long as you hide your sin.
Psalms in chapter 78 And verse 40.
How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel.
To thee, that's amazing verse there.
Such potential,
but God stayed his hand of blessing because of sin. I look out here tonight and I see potential. Great potential. Tremendous potential. But there will be no blessing. And God will be limited by our sin. God will not bless sin. God will not bless hypocrisy. God will not bless insincerity. God will continue to resist a proud and arrogant heart. But he'll give grace unto the humble. Somebody says, God has to forgive me. My friend, God doesn't have to do anything. God does not owe you anything. You owe him everything.
God is not indebted to you.
You are indebted to God.
Some of you are thinking right now, well, you sure are reading a lot of them Old Testament verses.
You sound just like a Catholic.
Same excuses, same spirit, no doubt. Look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
You want revival? You better learn to forgive your brother. Some of you have guarded rancor, grudges. You have guarded grudges in your heart. You have held bitterness in your heart because some brother offended you. And that has become unforgivable to you. And you refuse to forgive. And therefore God refuses to forgive you. Do you want revival? You still want revival? Then you must deal with the sin question. Joshua in chapter 24 and verse 18.
And Joshua said unto the people, let me read verse 18. The Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Ammonites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will serve us and serve the Lord, for he is our God.
You want revival?
You say, yes. And Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he had done you good.
And the people said unto him, said unto Joshua, nay, that we will serve the Lord.
And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen ye the Lord to serve him.
And they said, we are witnesses. Do you want revival? You are witnesses to yourself. You choose to serve a holy God. This holy God says unto you, be ye holy, even as I am holy.
This holy God you choose to serve, I said, if you dare to take the name of Jesus, depart from iniquity. Resist the devil. Deny yourself.
Do you want revival? Deal with the sin question. God spared not the angels. God spared not the old world. God spared not the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And these were an example unto those that should live ungodly. These cities and these creatures and these people were an example.